Arizona State Personnel Board is hereby called to order. First, I'd like to begin with a call for public comment. This is the time set for the general public to address the board on matters not on the agenda. So are there any comments from the public? Okay, well, thank you. So we'll move on to the hearing that there are no public comments. We'll move on to the next topic, which is the meeting minutes for January 24th, 2018. Unless I hear an objection, I'm going to move that the January 24th, 2018 board meeting minutes for the open public meeting be approved. Any objection?
Second.
You need a second.
Do I have a second? Was that a second?
Mark.
Kilbeer, second.
I need a vote.
Don't take a vote. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Anybody opposed? Right. Motion carries. Thank you. Okay. All right, at this point, the next item on our agenda is consideration of the prohibited personnel practice complaint of Lori Toole, I hope I pronounced that correctly, versus the Department of Health Services et al. So do I have a...
State goes first.
State goes first. Okay.
Good morning, board members. My name is Michelle Klinsman. I am here to represent the Department of Health Services from the Attorney General's Office. I presume that you've had an opportunity to read our motion, our reply, and our objection to the... the response to our objection, or Ms. Toole's objection to the hearing officer's report. The matters before you today are really matters of law. The whistleblower statute, which Ms. Toole has attempted to invoke, has some very specific threshold requirements that must be met in order for this board to actually have jurisdiction to actually hear the merits. The first requirement that we have asserted in our motion is that she did not, as it is required pursuant to statute, make a disclosure to a public body. And the statute has a very specific list of what constitutes a public body. I think I've put that in the pleadings, so I won't regurgitate that. What I would like to say is I did provide some case law that talks about that a little bit. One case is the McCormick case, which was in my pleadings, which specifically dismissed a whistleblower action because it was not sent to a public body, and they didn't even address the matter of whether or not it was a matter of public concern, because they decided because it did not reach the threshold of public body. So that case stands for the proposition that if this board does not find that she actually submitted her disclosure to a public body, that it fails, the complaint fails, and this body should dismiss this case. I'd like to talk a little bit about the second requirement, which is the matter of public concern. The statute does indicate that she needs to articulate that it's actually in the nature of a violation of law, mismanagement, a gross waste of monies, or an abuse of authority. And Ms. Toole submitted an email, which she's describing as a letter of concern, which she's asserting is a matter of public concern. However, there's no specific case law on this, and so what we do is we borrow from the jurisprudence of First Amendment in defining what is a matter of public concern. And I've laid out some case law in my pleadings, but a couple things I'd like to just point out is that some of the case law talks about the fact that this board can actually look to the motive and the audience to which the complainant made her statement, to make a decision about it, whether or not it was really a matter of public concern. And I think that's important to point out that in all of the communication that you've received from Ms. Toole, the email that is her initial disclosure, the complaint that she filed, and even the objection to the hearing officer's response, nowhere in there does it rise to the level of a public concern. And the fact that she later on, after her initial disclosure, tries to embellish what she intended really should not be considered as part of the decision-making process. Truly, the case law, I'm just going to read to you a few points from the case law just to give you an understanding of what the case law really indicates. In the Roe case, for example, when we talk about a matter of public concern, it may be characterized not as a public concern when it deals with individual personal disputes and grievances, and when that information would be of no relevance to the public evaluation of the performance of government agencies. In other words, the content of the communication must be of broader societal concern. The focus must be upon whether the public or community is likely to be truly interested in the particular expression of whether it more properly viewed as an essential private grievance. This case also talks about the fact that, although not dispositive, a technical focus on the limited audience actually weighs against a claim of protected speech. And the Roe case cites Johnson versus Multnomah County, which says the employee's motivation and the chosen audience are among the many factors to be considered in light of the public interest in determining whether it's a matter of public speech. Here we have someone who was under investigation, and she, if you look at all the content of everything that she's written, there's very little that even is remotely related to a public concern. And in fact, she even says in her objection to the hearing officer's response, she makes the argument that this is mismanagement. And what she describes as, quote, mismanagement, is that members of the procurement management stated to me that they were unhappy and beginning to feel overwhelmed due to the lack of action on the part of HR in the corrective action process. So I think these are not issues that rise to the threshold that are matters of concern that this board should entertain. I'm going to save any remaining time I have for.
Yeah, I think, Chad, you get 5 minutes,
yes,
I think you used it all.
Oh, did I? Is there any questions?
Are there any questions on the phone?
No questions.
So you, I just want to
clarify. No.
Just wanted to clarify a comment you mentioned. Ms. Toole was under investigation. Was that after she went to the agency director or deputy director or before?
So the investigation began before she wrote her letter of concern.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. At this point, I'd like to call Ms. Toole up to present. And just as a courtesy reminder, you have 5 minutes.
Thank you. Thank you for giving this time to speak to you this morning. I wanted to address that the respondent's motion to dismiss, there were 2 points. I'm fairly sure there were 2 points. And the first being that Ms. Toole made no disclosure to a public body. I feel that Tony Magliano, at the time, was employed with the agency, but as of the 17th, he's no longer employed. He was someone who acted on behalf of Dr. Twist, who is the director of the agency, and he was a deputy director. Within the statute, it states that it has to be a director. It doesn't state what type of director, whether it has to be the director of the agency or whatever. I'm going to further say that I had no knowledge of this statute when I wrote the letter. I didn't know anything about whistleblowing. I'm just trying to defend my case so that I can be heard. And I'm hoping that it fits into the statute. And based on my interpretation of it, it would. I wouldn't waste your time if I didn't feel that it didn't fit. So I felt that Tony Magliano was fitting the definition of a public body because he has acted in the past as director of the agency. And I have some letter to show that he did assign for CareTrust at one time. The second is reason for dismissal was the complainant's complaint must be dismissed because she made no disclosure concerning a matter of public concern. I was the chief procurement officer of the state, and I had to abide by the Arizona Procurement Code, and I represented the state in every purchase that I made on behalf of taxpayer dollars or any of the staff under me, and they were operating under a very negative work environment, and I was trying to improve that because we had some employees who were disruptive to the task and slowing the speed of business. And I had been to HR and met with them several times, and it was continually put on hold. And so I wrote the letter as a notice that something, I would appreciate if something could be done because the actions of one of the employees had escalated to the point of becoming physical. And so I became terribly concerned. And after writing the letter, I met with Colleen McManus, and she raised her voice at me, told me she was offended by the letter. And then Deputy Director Magliano stated that he was personally offended by the letter. And a matter of a week or two later, I was put on administrative leave. And when I was put on administrative leave, Mr. Magliano stated that it was because of my letter, among other reasons, and that I was no longer a good fit for the agency, but prior to that, I was an exemplary employee. And at the time, Colleen McManus stated that I was not going to be terminated, that I was just being put on administrative leave during the course of an investigation. Yes, I did know that there was an investigation going on. However, I didn't know that I was the subject of that investigation. I thought it was because I had put two people on corrective action. You have any questions?
You have another minute if you want.
I hope that that you consider my statements and that this matter is able to go to hearing. It will be a challenge because many of the people that were in the procurement department have left since my departure, and I'm not saying that it's because I left. But I would do my best to not waste your time and pull the people in that I needed as witnesses. And I hope that you consider that my complaint does fall within the statutory limitations mentioned by Ms. Kunzman. I don't have anything further.
Okay. So when you stated in here you had or I guess it's a public concern, does what was happening rise to the level or potential level of like criminal behavior? Or was it more of a kind of a workplace environment?
It was within the workplace environment. I'm not sure if it would be considered criminal or not because I'm not familiar with that type of law.
Okay.
But it was disruptive to the environment. It included yelling, berating, and slamming documents and different items on desks and creating a disturbance within her cubicle and other people's cubicles, one of the employees. And so once it escalated to where a lot of noise was being made or accusations were being made of staff, I escalated it to Tony, to Mr. Magliano.
Are there any other questions on the phone? From the phone?
No, from Georgia.
Ask for a motion.
All right, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
So at this point, I'd like to ask for a motion regarding this matter.
I would like to make a motion. This is Mark Siska on the phone. I move we adopt the hearing officer's finding of fact and conclusions of law as our own I move we grant the respondent's motion to dismiss, as the board does not have jurisdiction to hear the complaint.
Do I have a second?
This is Jill Beers. I would second that motion.
Great. All in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
Okay. Motion carries.
Motion carries.
You need a motion to adjourn.
I'm not adjourned.
Okay.
That was,
are we going to discuss the executive director position?
Not without Kevin.
Okay.
So then do we skip to adjournment?
Yeah.
Okay. At this moment, I'd ask, do we have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second?
You can second it.
I'll second it. All right. All in favor say aye.
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 Anyone opposed? The meeting has carried. The July 22nd, 2018 meeting of the Arizona State Personnel Board is now adjourned.